In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership. Saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday!
Happy Friday!
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games. And what's getting me through this week, I'm using air quotes, is I finally finished the Snyder Cut of the Justice League.
Woo!
How many weeks have you, like, 2-3 weeks?
It feels like it took, like, 6 weeks. Well, no, I was off and on, and I got distracted by other stuff, but then finally I said, I've got to finish this movie because it's driving me crazy, and so I finally finished it, and, I mean, like, I don't know. It was fine. No, I don't even know if it was fine. It was just, at times it felt fine. At times it felt like there was promise there. And then there were times where I was just like, what are you guys even doing? You know, spoiler alert if you haven't watched it yet, but here's the spoiler alert for this Justice League part. They have Darkseid in there and he's in there for maybe like 10 minutes. They have a line from Cyborg that is literally out of Endgame and in kind of weird, similar-ish circumstances. Just the slow-mo, too much slow-mo, like doing slow-mo with Flash makes sense. He's going super fast. You want to slow it down so you can see what he's doing as he's going at super speed. Makes perfect sense. Everybody else has slow-mo too. And it was just, after a while, it's like, we get it. Can we just have a fight happening without like slowing it down all the time? I just, you know, the thing that bums me out the most is I was disappointed because they have, you know, three of the most popular comic book characters ever. They have their own version of Thanos. There was definitely something there they could have pulled together to make really good. And it just was a letdown. It was a bummer, but I hope it was worth it. 4 hours of what we got.
Well, I think the fact that it took you this long to finish it, that's all you need to know. Like, it's a 4-hour thing. You weren't invested enough or interested enough to finish watching it.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And it's just, you know, now I've finally done it. So now I feel better. What are you going to do?
That's good. Good for you. I'm Brian Truitt. I watch movies. And what's getting me through this week, I'm surprised Brett wasn't playing basketball again because I'm back on my football tilt, Madden 21. That's what's getting me through this week. Next week is the NFL draft. So now there's a whole bunch of NFL draft content and I need some more players on my team, some good players. And now we get like rookie picks and stuff. So I'm back on my Madden groove and, you know, all good.
I will say I have been playing the basketball game. I just didn't want to torture our listeners with another week of me talking about it because my new Overwatch. I've been yapping about it nonstop. So,
well, and that's the other thing. I watch so much stuff that I can't talk about because of embargoes and stuff. I'm like, I can't really say anything. Well, so I'm playing football. Playing more football.
Whenever anyone asks me, oh, what TV shows are good? I'm like, I don't know, because the TV shows I'm watching now are coming out in 2 months and I can't say anything about them and they're not even done
right
with all their effects and stuff. Anyways, I'm Kelly Lawler. I watch television. And what's getting me through this week? Television you're not allowed to see.
Television you can't see yet.
Kelly's eyes only.
One of my sister's favorite book series has been adapted into a Netflix show that's out this Friday. That's, I would say, pretty good, but not quite as wonderful as one would hope. And she's been asking me about it for months, but the embargo broke, so I can't hide behind that anymore.
Oh, well.
But what's getting me through this week actually is this lovely trio of graphic novels by Alice Osman, or maybe Osman, called Heartstopper, which are, they're just little YA romances about two teen boys who fall in love at British prep school. And it's very sweet. They're very quick reads. It's got really lovely black and white art. And there's not quite that much conflict in it, really. It's just about happiness twist and them falling in love, and one of them sort of realizes he's bisexual and he comes out, and you know, that's where a lot of like sort of the conflict comes from. But mostly they just write each other adorable texts and hold hands and kiss and go to the seaside with a dog, and it's just really nice.
Well, I'm glad you had a better week than me.
Yeah.
That's a low bar, man.
Well, you know, if this is your first time listening, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. While you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be lovely if you could write a quick review about the show, because you help other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. And as a bonus, you get a shout out on the next episode. So try it out. Tell us what you want to see from the show moving forward. It is all upside for you. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. Or you can send an email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. Now on to the main topic. Here's a clip.
Throughout history, different cultures all over the world reference a great tournament of champions. That dragon marking?
I think it's an invitation to fight for something known.
Mortal Kombat.
That was from Mortal Kombat, the new adaptation of the wildly popular fighting game, now in theaters and streaming on HBO Max. It stars a host of characters, including this week's guest, Chin Han, who you've probably seen in a lot of other movies, including The Winter Soldier, Dark Knight 2012, Contagion. He's been in a lot of fun stuff, and he's here this week to join us. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's really great having you.
Oh, thank you for having me. I mean, I'm happy to be here.
So this is a question we like to start with all our guests. How have you been doing during the pandemic?
I've been well. I mean, I was in Asia for the most part. We even managed to get some pickups for Mortal Kombat done during the time of pandemic in Sydney. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't bound like a lot of people to any kind of location. I actually traveled quite a bit. I mean, I was back in Singapore to visit family, and then was in Sydney to do some more filming, and then now I'm back in LA. So it's been interesting and a little tricky as well, because you know how the protocols are also different now. Not only at airports, but also, you know, on sets as well. And sets are different places now. You know, I mean, we get tested 2 to 3 times a week. The locations are kind of partitioned and laid out in concentric circles, with ground zero being where the actors are. And then, you know, it kind of spreads out that way with different degrees of compliance for people working in different, you know, in different levels of the production. So it's all very structured and it's all very thought out, but it's like a different universe right now.
So in Mortal Kombat, you play the villain of sorcerer Shang Tsung, the Emperor of Outworld. Did you revisit him from the video games, you know, to play him? Or did you pull from somewhere else, you know, for bad guy inspiration?
Well, you know, I mean, the video games, there's enough in the video games to pull from, and the movies and the web series but they're also different, right? I mean, you have obviously the very iconic performance by Cary Tagawa in the 95 movie. You have the first arcade game. They come also, you know, in different forms and at different ages too, right? So, you know, it's interesting to kind of do the deep dive into the canon of Mortal Kombat, because it's also very complicated because of the timelines and, you know, the retcons and the various versions of the games. So I think basically what Simon McCoy, Greg Rousseau, myself, when we were looking at creating Shang Tsung again, it was more to capture the essence, you know, of the character, and then how he would fit into this world that they have created as well, you know, with the new Liu Kang, with the new Sub-Zero, with the new Scorpion. So I think that was our starting point.
So Shang Tsung gets to share screen time with a lot of the main characters, both good and bad. Who for you was the coolest character to be with?
Oh, because our trailers are right next to each other, so Sub-Zero was a lot of fun to hang out with. And he is a big gamer. He likes to play. So he would just sit on, we have this patio area outside our trailers, and he would just sit outside with his computer and he would be doing that. And it was very friendly. We would just pop into each other's, space and check in on each other. And we also have a lot of scenes together. So, I think by default, I would say Joe Taslim.
So we've seen that Mortal Kombat has been number one for 2 weeks in your home country of Singapore.
Yeah.
How neat is it for you that after this last year where so many theaters throughout the world were closed, that this is the movie that's bringing people back?
It's very heartening. It's not just bringing people back. We are getting a lot of, pictures and photos and emails and DMs about how people are bringing their dads and bringing their sons and bringing their moms and bringing their sisters and bringing their kids. It's such a, it's become, like a family event, and it's kind of ironic that a movie with so much gore and action and violence like Mortal Kombat is actually bringing families together, to view the movie.
Yeah, there's going to be some parents that get upset when they see, like, Shang Tsung's, I'm not going to say it, but somebody gets put through, like, one of those saws. So, yeah, that's not cool. Did you play Mortal Kombat back in the day, or is this world and the personalities fairly new to you?
I did play Mortal Kombat back in the day. I mean, with the arcade games, And that Shang Tsung was the old Shang Tsung, right? I mean, the earlier versions of him, and he's the final boss in those games as well. But those games were interesting because, in the age of no internet, it's very hard to figure out what the special moves are and what the special combinations are. You're just basically trial and error through the whole thing, right? I mean, you're just what they call, I think, spamming, what it's called? And you're pushing buttons, and then suddenly you get a special move, and you get so excited about it, but you had no idea how you got that move, because it was it A, B, C, C, D, back, forward, and you have no clue about that. So it was really interesting at that point. Not to mention, I think this thing from a sociological point of view is very interesting when you're playing a competitor who's standing right next to you. I think in the age of the internet, it's so easy, right? I mean, we're just so far from everybody. We feel very, we feel very free to kind of beat up somebody, or they're really going to destroy someone. When you're standing right next to them and you're playing, it gets a little trickier because, this is some guy who wants to make his quarter last for as long as possible, as much as you want it to last, for as long as possible. So I remember pissing off some people and me being pissed off as well. And you have to navigate all of that too,
So before Mortal Kombat, you've been in a lot of blockbusters like The Dark Knight and 2012 and Captain America, The Winter Soldier. So is that something that you look out for, like big movies where you can do something significant with the supporting role?
Well, no, I mean, it's not as curated as one might think. It's interesting because I was just looking at my filmography with my longtime manager, and it's The Dark Knight, it's Captain America, it's Independence Day Resurgence, there's Ghost in the Shell, which is anime and manga, and so it's not just the comics from the Western world, it's comics from the East as well, and now we have now we're making the foray into video games. I have to, I hate to disappoint, but it isn't designed. I mean, I haven't set out to just do those movies. I'd love to do The English Patient, for example, maybe an Asian version of it, or Four Weddings and a Funeral, I mean, that kind of films I'd love to do, but somehow these movies just find me.
So being that it's Oscar weekend, you shared the screen with Heath Ledger for his Academy Award winning performance in The Dark Knight. What do you remember most about working with him?
Heath was the consummate artist, but I think he was also so generous of spirit. You know, I think for sometimes when one thinks of an artist, you think of someone who's tormented and, you know, kind of very self-absorbed, or, you know, thinking about the craft 24/7, or not being able to shake the character or shake whatever art piece or song or painting that they were doing. But Heath was the opposite of that. I mean, he created a character that was, you know, so compelling in so many ways. But at the same time, once the makeup goes off, you know, or before the makeup goes on, you know, you catch him at you know, at these points, and he is, you know, he is so open to talking and to engaging. So this is a story, right? I mean, my first day on set was the scene in which I'm in jail, basically, and he comes to get me. And so we shot that in London. And I have to tell you, I mean, they brought me on set. There was a lot of business going on around me. Out of the blue, someone just pops up in front of me and extends his hand, and it was Heath Ledger. You know, I mean, he was the first person to welcome me on set that day. So, you know, that's the kind of person that he was.
Was he in full makeup when he popped up and said hi?
Yes, he was.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
A little Jack in the Box right there.
You also were in Contagion, which a lot of people have revisited since the pandemic started. When you were making that a decade ago, did it seem like something that could actually happen to all of us?
You know, I did it as a postscript to something that I experienced myself, right? I mean, I experienced SARS in Asia, and I think in the West, you know, you guys didn't get a sense of how terrifying that was as well. But in Asia, like in Taiwan and Singapore and Hong Kong, you know, it was a very real thing. Our streets were completely deserted. Cinemas were empty. Cabs were, you know, completely not being booked. The city was really, you know, a ghost town. And it was like that for a few months. Little did I know, obviously, that shortly after, 20 years later, I'm going to be experiencing almost the same thing, but on a much more massive scale. So when I did Contagion, it was actually kind of, for me, a cathartic thing. You know, I just wanted to exorcise the demons of that particular experience. I wanted to, you know, kind of do it for those reasons. But little did I know that it was, you know, it was going to be more prescient than I thought it was going to be, or, you know, or foretelling or foreshadowing of what is about to happen.
So back to Mortal Kombat, there are a lot of really great young actors and fresh faces that you're working with. Was there anyone who impressed you the most out of the young cast?
All of them, you know, I mean, I think all of them, you know, were so diligent. You know, I think everyone came, you know, with their homework done and with so many ideas. You have someone like Ludi, you know, who contributed to some of the very spiritual aspects of Liu Kang. You have Max Wong, who comes with all his martial arts training with the Jackie Chan stunt team. And he was, you know, working with the choreography as well. You know, and I saw him kind of find that incredible introduction to the character in the movie. If you have seen it, I mean, it's quite spectacular, where he just kind of leaps into the air and does a couple of flips and lands, you know. And he was also practicing with the hat and all that stuff. So you see all of that, and you see Lewis, and you see Jessica, you know, training, and Sissy was there, you know, for months, you know, working on her size, the two, you know, blades, before she even shot a single frame of film, you know. So I think everybody came wanting to make the same movie, you know. Even if we did come with different levels of knowledge of the game, you know, we eventually all got on the same page, and I think we were all making the same film.
It does seem like, you know, there's Mortal Kombat, there's Shang-Chi, which is coming in a few months, and there's another season of Warrior, which is very much, you know, it's a period piece, but it's very much, you know, a lots of martial arts, a lot of kind of, you know, Eastern philosophy and things like that. Is that, I mean, are we kind of in a golden age for that? You know, is there like a hunger for that again? I mean, and there's a Kung Fu show on CW as well.
It's so hard to spot trends until they happen, right? I mean, I think hindsight is 2020, and maybe a few years down the road, we'll be able to look back and say this is the golden age, or this was the start of something special. But I mean, there definitely is a kind of interest in that kind of martial arts. I think because there has been so much use of visual effects and CGI over the last decade, you know, I think we're inundated by these images. And I think going back to martial arts, I think there is a visceral quality about it. You know, there's something kind of balletic about it. There's something kind of real about it. So, I mean, the hits are real. The, you know, the kind of moves are conceivable, right? I mean, I think that's what the appeal of it is. And I think when we're living in a time like this, you know, where reality is somewhat challenging, then I think, you know, to be able to see characters deal with it in more realistic ways, I think is something that, I mean, I think the audience responds to, or is responding to.
So what do you have going on next for your career? Have you gone back to work at all during the pandemic?
No, I mean, the travel restrictions is a big deal, right? I mean, I think the traveling from Singapore to Los Angeles is not that big a deal for me, because, you know, I mean, I do have a green card. I'm a citizen of Singapore. Traveling to Australia for Mortal Kombat was, you know, was under very, very special arrangements, because we had already started shooting the film and we needed to shoot some more. And so the government had arranged for us to make special provisions for us to do that. Outside of that, I think any kind of travel, you know, is going to be tricky. And so in that time, I think I pretty much took that time to explore something that I think I want to do next, which is directing. And so I've been looking for scripts. I've been reading a lot. And I think that's just a natural, you know, evolution of the creative process.
Was there something that you did or somebody you work with that most inspired this kind of wanting to direct yourself?
I loved working with Steven Soderbergh, right? I mean, I think there's something about him that even with his budgets, and Contagion is not a small budget film. I mean, it's substantial, and you know, we shot it in different country in Hong Kong, and I think there was a part that was shot in Europe, and I think and then the rest in America. It's not a small movie, ostensibly, but he runs the set like an independent movie, like you would an independent movie. And on top of the fact that he's also, you know, he's also the director of photography on his movies, and he's very involved in, you know, the editing of it too, even though he has a long time, incredible editor, Stephen Mirioni. He's very inspiring that way, because, you know, I mean, I love how he gets his hands dirty, and, you know, he's right there, you know, he's setting up the shot, you know, he's lighting the thing, he's figuring out how the props work. And, you know, he's very, you know, he's really into the whole process of it. So I think Steven would be the one person who would be someone who I think is inspiring me that way.
Because you enjoy traveling so much, once things kind of do get back to normal, where's the first place you're going to for fun?
You know, I wanted to do this. I turned 51 last year. I had great plans for my 50th birthday, and I wanted to go to the Amalfi Coast. You know, the movie, did you see Tenet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tenet were shot in the Amalfi Coast. You can see how beautiful that is, right? And I had plans to do the Amalfi Coast and just kind of go down and Positano, I think the Sorrento and all those places. And I think I'm overdue for my birthday. So I haven't really had a celebration, you know, entering this new decade of my life yet. So I think that might be nice.
You deserve it at this point.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being here. It was great having you, and best of luck with Mortal Kombat, and best of luck on your 50th birthday celebration. I hope you get there soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun talking to you guys.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, it's your turn. Are you watching Mortal Kombat this weekend? Who's your favorite fighter? Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, or you can tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at K-Lawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
And don't forget, you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That'll do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producer of the Mothership this week, Adam Fish. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, how about leave us a rating or a review? It helps other people find the show, and we get some great feedback. But if Apple Podcasts isn't your thing, you can also find us on Spotify, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. Until next week, nerds out.
Flawless victory. Get over here.